This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ben Standing is back from Indy. He writes for The Athletic. You should subscribe to it. It's totally worth it. You can follow Ben on Twitter, on X, at Ben Standing. And Ben has a podcast called Last Man Standing. You can get it wherever you get any of your podcasts. So Ben Solak from ESPN did some, you know, hypothetical trades, and he had Washington as the best landing spot for Deebo Samuel. Future fourth rounders, kind of a post June 1, so they could spread the $31 million cap hit the 49ers could over 2 years. So a post June 1 trade with a 2026 fourth rounder and a 2027 fifth rounder that could become a fourth, so conditional fifth was the price. Do you think that they would consider that or should?
If we're talking like, you know, day three picks, not to say those aren't important as well, but obviously there's a difference between that and, say, trading, you know, a couple firsts for a Myles Garrett or someone like that. So if you know, look, Deebo Samuel, if he's healthy, has obviously been a pretty impressive game, game changer in the league. He was drafted by Adam Peters, knows him well. So if Peters, you know, says, hey, I like this guy, we want him in our locker room on our team, then, you know, sure, that kind of price doesn't seem a huge of a deal. Obviously, he's had some injury issues. He's coming off a down year. If you're going to make a trade, presumably there's going to be a new contract. So, yeah, I mean, they need something like that. I think just in general, though, I keep coming back with the draft picks. You know, if they make these deals that everybody wants them to make involving draft picks, you know, they have three in the top 80, but they only have three in the top 145. That, you know, they've got a six and two sevenths. These are, you know, these are depth pieces. They're not core pieces. And, you know, they've only had the one draft under Peters. I don't imagine he wants to have just like one draft and then, you know, only a handful of picks the next time. So that to me has been the constant rub about trading picks. Day three stuff is not going to be huge losses necessarily, but, you know, volume is volume. It's one of the things people point to the Eagles lately with, you know, they're building up the lines. The Eagles just have a lot of picks every year, and I just don't know if I see Adam Peters wanting to go below, you know, too far below the seven that they have when you can go out and sign players in free agency. So I get why Washington is constantly the target for these trades, but, you know, I still wonder if Adam Peters is really going to be willing to give up picks when, you know, he still has only had 1 year to help build the team in that way. And that's, you know, that is where Adam Peters, his, you know, with San Fran was noted for his draft classes.
Well, the interesting part about why Washington's much more a part of these offseason discussions with players of note is twofold, right? One, they're considered to be a Super Bowl contender. We've never dealt with that in an offseason. Most people listening haven't. I wasn't doing this the last time they were a Super Bowl contender. And two, it's the interesting part about them being a Super Bowl contender is they have a lot of needs to fill because their roster isn't super strong. They're a Super Bowl contender because they are elite at the quarterback position. So that's why, you know, they're going to be subject to a lot of this conversation. And, you know, with respect to picks, you know, there's a lot of, you know, give and take, right? Because you nailed it. You said it a week ago here that John Allen would be moved. And, you know, early in the week, it was discussed that he and his agent can go out and seek a trade. So hopefully they get something back. But when I looked at that proposed trade, first of all, I can't imagine the 49ers, quite honestly, taking a 26 and a 27. You know, those picks are typically discounted in the minds of GMs anyway, Ben, when you're not talking about the upcoming draft. And those, in essence, you know, equate to sort of later day three picks for a guy that, when healthy, is a star player, when healthy.
Yeah. I blocked out that it was later years as I was going on there, so apologies for that. But yeah, sure. In general, I mean, it's too far. It's one thing if it's like, you know, trading a first round pick this year and another one next year for Myles Garrett, trading late day three picks for, you know, I mean, it's sure. What I think is, and I'm curious what you think from your perch back here is, you know, for me, this combine was, you know, the draft is always the reason that you're there. And obviously Washington is very different this year, picking 29 instead of 2. But the draft, to me, has felt very taken a back seat to the other parts of free agency. And yet it wasn't like there was like a ton of big, I mean, there wasn't not a ton of news. It was a lot of this player and that player has been granted permission to seek a trade. I think we're all waiting for things to happen. But right now it's just kind of, you know, people are throwing darts at the wall. This seems like it's an unprecedented amount of players who are available that we know are openly available for trade, not just rumors, not just speculation, but like everybody is saying, yeah, they can go seek a trade. And, you know, so of course that leads to everybody wanting to go find a trade. It's sort of like with John Allen. Like I don't know if anybody's out there coming up with trade scenarios. I don't think there's any to be had. I mean, you know, I don't really. If somebody wants to swap a 6 for Allen and a 7th, I mean, sure, whatever. But like that, you know, I just feel like the most of these deals are getting discussed as if like they're going to happen. When I just don't know if I really see it. Myles Garrett's different, but like the one with
Garrett is much different. Yeah. Completely different conversation. I'm trying to think if even Matt Stafford is a different conversation at his age. You know, it's a different conversation because of the position, but it's not going to be outrageous compensation because of the money he makes and the age that he's at.
I mean, he's not getting released. Garrett's not getting released, but Cooper Kupp, Deebo Samuel, John Allen, like,
could be.
You know, the other team's like, okay, you're probably going to have to get rid of this guy. So we'll wait it out or, you know, what have you. We'll see. But, it remains to be said, for all the people who want to say that Washington is sort of this player away and therefore they're going to be that aggressive, you know, this was a relatively quiet trip, I thought, for news and information. But in talking to people, it was like, how do you even assess where Washington is when you have 28 free agents and coming off the season that they had, which is obviously very impressive with Jaden Daniels. But like, yeah, there's still a lot of holes. Even if you brought back all 28 people, they still can't stop the run, right? Who's the number two receiver, or, you know, is Zach Ertz going to do that again, et cetera. So it's just hard to look at them and say, well, yeah, they're definitely one team away. And yet
one player away.
One player away, sorry. And yet you can't look at it and go, wow, there's no chance here. I mean, Jaden Daniels, and look what they did. You know, I mean, so, yeah, it's fascinating to wonder what how big of a swing they're going to take. But I just think that some of these people are just a bit over their skis and just assuming that Washington is definitely that team.
Yeah, well, the issue, too, is, you know, you can talk about being aggressive and talk about recognizing the window that you're in, but if it doesn't sync up with a free agency class where there's a lot of, you know, true massive upgrades, because it looks like now even Trey Smith might get franchise tagged by Kansas City. So you got all those situations. I think we kind of predicted the week would be much more about not draft players, you know, eligible players, but about the rest of the league and veteran players, and I think that's come to fruition. I think the interesting thing, and you heard Adam Peters say this earlier in the week, is that Washington has the second fewest players in the league under contract. They've got 46 players under contract, but, you know, close to, you know, 10, 12, 13, 14 of those are league minimum fill out the camp roster, training camp roster guys. They've got to get really, they're going to be very, very busy in a similar way, maybe to the way they were last year. But that's what's going to be interesting once free agency, maybe even before it gets underway with their own free agents, because they got a lot. Can't go to camp with 46 guys and seven draft choices.
Right. Well, the other thing, though, is like, look, we understand why they're in this situation for two years in a row. Last year, they needed to overturn the roster to, you know, reset the culture and get more talent. They did that. They signed a bunch of guys to one-year deals. Cool. Right. Worked out. They weren't locking themselves up longer term just in case things didn't work out. But now they're in this position again. You can't do this every year, though. You do have to start having it such that in the offseason, okay, they need a new – I'm making this up. They need a new linebacker. They need a more speed at receiver and a couple things. You can't be every year, okay, you know, a bunch of starters are missing. All your depth is gone at certain spots. And in order for that to happen, that's where you keep your draft picks. That's where obviously you do well with those picks, but you got to have those guys, and then sign some players to, you know, more of the Frankie Louvu type last year in terms of, you know, 3-year deals or whatever. So in order to do that, though, if you trade away your picks and spend all your money on like one or two guys, well, then you're not doing that. You know, then you're still in the same boat. So, you know, it's an interesting needle they need to thread, but they got to build the team beyond just the 1 year now, but you know, but everybody wants them to take these big swings, which could eat into their draft picks and cap space to a degree.
Well, not to mention the fact that there's just a cash piece to this when you're signing, you know, all of your players to short-term deals in the same off seasons. It becomes a massive cash outlay, even if it's not. You know, even if we're not talking about massive deals, but you've got a lot, you know, in 1 year deals, you're paying it all, you know, in 1 year and in one off season. So you've got that too. That's a point that, you know, you just made that I think is important for people to understand. When you sign somebody to a 2-3-4 year contract, you get to spread a lot of that out, and not all of the cash is due up front. There is signing bonus money due, and sometimes you have 2 years to pay that off. But yeah, look, you don't want. It was recalibration a year ago. It was what you said, turning over the roster, creating a new culture, and dipping their toes into, you know, the players, a couple of these 2- and 3-year deals. But you don't want to be in the same spot next year where you've got 28 free agents and you've got 44 roster spots. But the 44 roster spots, that's the interesting thing now, right? Like, so what are they going to do? You've written a story. Ben's got a 10-step off-season plan. We're not going to go through all the steps. You got to subscribe to The Athletic to read all of them. But, you know, the first thing you got right already, that they're going to move on from John Allen, certainly seems that way. I don't expect, by the way, you know, Adam Peters to say that him coming back isn't a possibility. You're not going to do that. But more likely than not, he's gone. The next step is extending Terry McLaurin. What do you think he'll get? Where is he going to rank an average annual when he gets this extension, which I think he will too?
Yeah, you know, you look at the top of the receivers, you've got sort of the Jalen Waddle is about 28. At $30 million, you got Brandon Ayuk, Amon-Ra St. Brown. At 32 is A.J. Brown. At 34 annual is C.D. Lamb. And then after that, it's Justin Jefferson, and it will be Ja'Marr Chase once his deal goes through. I mean, from like a production standpoint, from a what do they mean to the organization standpoint, you know, maybe there's an argument about Terry McLaurin and C.D. Lamb being, you know, closer than maybe people think based on sort of hype and perception and like fantasy football drafts and things like that. But C.D. Lamb is also, you know, 5 or 6 years younger than right. Terry McLaurin. You know, but then you look at the guys who are like at the center, like at that, you know, $30 million, you know, Amon-Ra St. Brown's been a very good receiver, but you know, this is how it works. It's not a matter of saying he shouldn't get,
well,
he's younger too. Right. But like, you know, I mean, Terry, you know, this is where it is. He's the guy who's up next. He's just coming up the best year of his career. You know, it's funny. He set the franchise record for touchdowns by a receiver in a season. And yet I just didn't sink into me until the other day. He actually had fewer targets in any year than since his rookie season. I mean, not
right.
by tons, but
yeah.
like, you know,
yeah.
it wasn't like he was getting like every pass. He was just highly productive. So, you know, I think it's somewhere in that $30 million range. And it's just a matter of, does it go, you know, does it reach up to AJ Brown or CeeDee Lamb levels? If I'm Washington, on the one hand, I wouldn't mind probably getting this deal done. You know, it's going to happen, I would think, unless something just incredibly goes wrong in negotiations. But like, you know, if you make the deal with Terry, you can now lower his cap space or his cap hit for this year right. from the 20s into something more manageable. And that gives even more room. And also you can get ahead of the T. Higgins deal. He's probably going to be the one that's going to be the biggest comp to Terry, at least in terms of the numbers. But on the other hand, if you're Terry's side, you know, you might as well wait. You know, I mean, he's not a free agent, so he's not going anywhere. But, you know, let the market play out. Let's see where T. Higgins goes. Ja'Marr Chase, you know, again, that'll be way over where Terry gets. But, it raises the salary structure overall for receivers. So, you know, I think that's going to be interesting to see where does this go. Again, he's not a free agent. He's still under contract. The urgency is not necessarily there the way it would be for some other players, but you know, I think it ultimately does get done. I just don't see how it doesn't. But you know, like I said, we'll see where his side comes in, where Terry's side comes in on, and how quickly Washington wants to get something done.
Talking to Ben Standing, of course. Who are the other receivers going to be on the roster? I mean, Luke McCaffrey's the only other one under contract. Terry's under contract. Luke McCaffrey's under contract.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think of the four guys who are out there, you know, the two Browns, Crowder and Zaccheaus, like, you know, I bringing two of them back at least seems like a no-brainer. Honestly, like, if you told me you brought all of them back, I wouldn't be like, well, that's kind of insane. I mean, look, they were highly productive last year. And again, I think we've talked about this a lot. I think people just constantly make the mistake in thinking that the receiver makes the quarterback and therefore you need to go out and spend a lot of money on them. And it's the opposite when you have a guy like Jaden Daniels. The whole point of having a guy like that is not just that they're productive, it's just that they raise the level of the players around them. But again, look, he's only played 1 year. I get it. We'll see. But like in general, if you're going to say he's in that, you know, he's on the verge of hitting that Lamar, Burrow, Mahomes, Allen category, or getting close, well, that's the point. That's what those guys do. You don't have to spend as much. You need the offensive line. But, you know, in other words, I don't think it's insane to think that you could bring back, you know, 2 to 3 of the guys and then figure out, you know, this is not considered to be a really good draft for receivers, but okay, if there's somebody, you know, on day two that they like, maybe you make that move. Cooper Kupp is a name I mentioned in my story, you know, kind of more if the Rams ultimately let him go. But like, if they think he's healthy, I think that's the kind of a guy who could be this year's version of, you know, like Zach Ertz or Austin Eckler, a guy who's been talented, but coming off injuries or a down year, and you can get him on the cheap and, you know, put him in this system with Kingsbury and Jaden Daniels and, you know, help him rehab his value and help the team along the way. So, you know, there are some vets who are out there that I think could be of interesting, especially again in these sort of maybe like a, this would be a case where maybe it's like a 1 year prove it deal for a guy like a Cup or a Debo if he were to get out there, something along those lines, if that's what the player would want. But, yeah, I mean, I don't think it's crazy to think you bring back most of the guys. And, look, you know, in case of McCaffrey, I don't want to say treat him like he's the new guy, but to some degree it is like that. He obviously has only played – he only played receiver 2 years in college, didn't do a ton at receiver last year, you know, assuming that they still believe in him, which I think they do. Then, you know, he could be the guy who emerges, and now all of a sudden you have a young guy. And, you know, De'Ami Brown's only 25. I'm not going to sit here and say what we saw at the end of the year is definitively who he is, but obviously he was a big step up from what he had been, and if they think that's real, you know, he's still a pretty fairly young guy. So I think you could do worse than bring back most of the guys they have, especially if you think that Jaden is, you know, only going to continue to get better.
Yeah, I would not have an issue if they just brought people back. I think, you know, what we saw with the quarterback, and by the way, I would mention also the offensive coordinator, was, you know, leveraging that great quarterback play, but also his creativity. There were people open, and those guys all thrived. And sure, you could do better talent-wise. And we've seen at times a quarterback like Mahomes struggle without, you know, legitimate, you know, threats at wide receiver. We've seen that occasionally even in places like Buffalo. But we have a star receiver in Terry McLaurin, that's for sure. We're talking to Ben Standig. What was the vibe, other than what we read back here, about Cleveland's Andrew Berry insisting that they're not going to trade Myles Garrett? You were there. You talked to a lot of people. Do you think that they're telling the truth?
I think they're telling the truth for late February. You know, I think that, you know, look, Andrew Berry, you know, well, I mean, for one, just purely from a negotiation standpoint, you know, you don't want to concede that you're trading the guy and now all of a sudden the offers are a little bit less because I think you have no choice. So there's that aspect. And, you know, look, clearly that organization has been an absolute mess the last couple of years because of the Deshaun Watson deal. And that's, you know, still going to be in play even if Watson doesn't play this year because of this Achilles issue. But, you know, can they still fill out a full roster the way they would want with the Watson deal on board? You know, if the answer is no, then, you know, trading Garrett, you know, is arguably the thing that they should do because, you know, they got to have to start over. But, you know, does the GM have room to start over? You know, is the owner saying, don't worry about it, you're here for the next 5 years, go ahead and do it if need be? You know, that's the part we don't know. So I don't know. I mean, I think in general, I think there was a sense that Myles Garrett seems to be pretty resolute about wanting out and that he doesn't, you know, doesn't expect to play for them again. You know, again, we'll see if it happens. You get into training camp and then you really sit out and lose all the money that he would get. It's easier said than done again in February than when it really comes to it. But yeah, I mean, I think at some point it seems reasonable that Cleveland could ultimately have to change their mind because the reality sets in. But, you know, for an organization like that, and we've dealt with that here, sometimes what is viewed as reality does not hit home to the people running the show. And if they are going to think that, hey, you know, we go out and get a quarterback this offseason one way or the other, whether it's drafting camp, you know, Cam Ward at two or, you know, signing some vet, why can't they be, you know, a team that makes a quick turnaround? You know, they've got, in theory, a good defense with Myles Garrett. So I think that part's up in the air. I will just say that, like, that when talking to people about Washington, I just generally, again, got sort of the vibe of, like, you got to tell me more about the roster before I tell you that they're a Myles Garrett away from, you know, catching Philly or being a more viable contender than even they were last year. And that's the part where, you know, we have no idea what Washington's roster going to look like. And they, you know, if Cleveland isn't willing to trade Myles Garrett until after free agency starts, I mean, then Washington has to do something, right? You know, they can't just sit there and wait.
Yeah, I mean, that's great, but if they can't upgrade the roster from where it was last season, then that's on Adam Peters in the front office, and I think there's more confidence in him. He earned it after a year. I mean, sure, it's possible that the roster's even less than it was and that they whiff on more moves than they hit on in this offseason, but they certainly have an opportunity to get better. And by the way, some of that will just come organically with players in a system for a second year.
Yeah, no, I mean, for sure. I mean, obviously they're going to try to make things better. But look, you know, we know how this game goes. You know, you sign, you know, they signed William Jackson, not this group, but they signed William Jackson a couple of years ago. He was basically the highest paid cornerback in free agency, and that was an utter disaster. I'm not saying that that's going to happen. I'm saying, like, you don't, when you have all these things, you don't know. None of us predicted last year, looking at the group that they had, that they were going to win 12 games, right? And so much of that, it was Jaden, but just so much worked out. Zach Ertz plays a full season. You know, they you know, guys like Zacchaeus and Noah Brown were effective, and you go on down the line. So that's the part where it's like, okay, like, well, we can't just assume that everybody they bring in is going to work out the way they did a year ago. Therefore, what's the baseline of the team? And other than Jaden and Terry, you know, there's not a ton else at the moment where you're going, wow, that's a definitive strength. That player is definitely, you know, even their draft class, Mikey Sanders still looks like a starter. Johnny Newton and Brandon Coleman did some good things, but, you know, I don't know. Are we ready to sit here and say they're cornerstone pieces? I don't think yet, even though they, you know, are arguably going to be. So it's just stuff like that. Like, you know, sure, get better, but last year just so much went their way. You got to have to, again, this is why you don't want to have to be in this position with 20-something free agents every year. You want to have some stability. You want to have pieces that are proven in place, going to be around for more than a year or two. And, you know, they're still building that, which is completely reasonable for only the second year. It's just that expectations went sky high after what they did. And that's why I mean, people who are grounded are like, look, you like it all. You like Jaden, but how do you figure out exactly what your roster is when you don't, you know, half the roster is missing?
Yeah, it's basically exactly half of it at this point. Pete Carroll said something earlier this week. I'm looking for the exact quote, but I'll paraphrase. Basically, yeah, Bobby's a free agent, referring to Bobby Wagner. What's your guess on Bobby Wagner? Does he re-sign here or does he sign elsewhere?
Well, you know, he got – it's funny. Most of the free agents didn't get name-checked by the media or by the staff or, you know, Peters or Quinn, because there's just so many of them. But Wagner was somebody that Quinn brought up organically. I believe it was in response to a question about, like, what does Jaden need to work on this offseason? And he cited Wagner as saying, hey, I don't know what Bobby Wagner is up to today, but I guarantee he's getting better. And that's what you want for Jaden and for all of our players. And then he was asked about, okay, well, he brought up Wagner. What about him coming back? And he makes the joke, you'll have to ask his agent. Wagner is his own agent. I just think there's so much fondness and affection there. You know, Quinn obviously was with Wagner back in Seattle. You know, so for what the reality is of what they were trying to accomplish last year, you know, raise the floor, reset the culture. You know, you couldn't have had a better addition than Bobby Wagner. And I can see that Quinn would say, hey, well, let's run this back, even if there are some concerns. He's going to be 35. You know, he was slowing down in some aspects of the game. Looked like Philly was sort of targeting him a bit in the NFC Championship game. I think my biggest question, honestly, is probably what does Bobby Wagner want to do? He's a West Coast guy. You know, he was still going, like, when they would have, like, a bye week or something, he was still going back out west because that's where his world is. Does he want to be closer in that direction? You know, Las Vegas isn't California where he's from, but it's a lot closer. He knows Pete Carroll. So, you know, and look, the Vegas team is very much looks like they're repeating Washington's approach. You know, the older coach who's had success, who's about building a culture, and you figure it out from there. So it wouldn't stun me if the Raiders said, hey, Bobby, do for us what you did for Washington. But, you know, he obviously had a tremendous year last year. He saw what this could be, the Jaden part of it. And, you know, again, it's not inconceivable that Washington has another, you know, 10-win season. And like you said, the NFC is very weird. It's, you know, I don't know, whoever the number two team is, I don't know that it's a definitive answer. Jaden's arguably the best quarterback in the conference. Detroit could be down a little bit with the new coordinator. So, you know, Washington has a lot to like. It's just, I think, kind of my guess is, what does Bobby Wagner want to do with his, you know, where does he want to play? It's probably my best guess as to, you know, what's the key factor here. I guess Washington would say bring it back for all the intangibles, but, you know, if you told me they went younger there, it wouldn't be wouldn't be nuts. It's just, you know what you have with Wagner, and I think there's something to be said for that.
All right, last one with Ben, and it's more league-related. I mean, I think, you know, the Matt Stafford story is still one of the more interesting off-season stories, maybe the most interesting off-season story by far. And it seems like, you know, there's a lot of activity around it even today. Raiders and Giants apparently have both, you know, kind of pitched the Rams. They're significantly interested. What was that buzz like as it relates to him? Were people still unsure as to why the Rams would be okay moving on from Matt Stafford?
There shouldn't be a lot of question there. You know, I guess it's just like anything else, though, right? Like, Matthew Stafford knows he doesn't have too much time in his career. He wants to be have a shot to win. They were, you know, they were the team that was closest to beating the Eagles last year in the postseason. And, you know, obviously the McVay-Stafford thing has worked, or, you know, rather well since they've been paired together. But if, you know, simultaneously Stafford wants a new deal, he wants to get paid, you know, what he thinks is worth. And, you know, in this QB market, you know, sure, if you tell me he gets $50 million or something next year, sure. But, you know, I don't know that the Rams necessarily want to give him that. They've got to think bigger picture. They know he's towards the end. So, yeah, I think there's some confusion as to why this is happening. But, you know, again, if he wants money and they want him to play, but not for some big raise, and that's going to be a potential impasse, and that's where we're at. I guess it feels like he's going to stay. If you're Stafford, I guess it is ultimately like, I'm not saying you can't have more money, but what does it mean to you if the Giants or the Raiders are willing to pay you what you think you're owed, but they're lousy teams, and your chances of contending are very minimal, right? Unless you're just so confident that you're going to be the difference maker, which in those cases just seems that they're too far away. So I would imagine he ultimately stays with the Rams, but, you know, I think this is why they're willing to say, look, man, if there's a team out there that you think it'll give you a better deal than us, both in terms of contending and paying you, then, you know, rock on. But, you know, we kind of don't think that's going to be the case.
All right. I will talk to you Monday. There's more, by the way, for those of you that don't know, there's plenty of Indy Combine to go this weekend. It'll be on TV all weekend long. I'll talk to you Monday. Thanks for doing this, as always.
Always, man. See ya.
Ben Standing, everybody. Adam Peters said something earlier this week. We keep getting more of these one-on-one ones with Adam Peters. He said something about his meeting with Jaden Daniels for the first time a year ago at the Indy Combine. You'll hear what he said next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Valentine's Day is behind us. Groundhog Day is behind us. President's Day, they're all in the rear view, but there is still a limited amount of time to take advantage of Window Nation's amazing February offer. It exists until midnight tonight. You can save 60% on all window styles and pay nothing for 2 years, only at Window Nation. You got to hurry. This offer ends at midnight tonight. Schedule your free in-home estimate today by calling them at 866-90-NATION. We're heading to windownation.com. Again, 60% off on all windows and all window styles with no money down, no payments, and no interest charged for 2 full years. If you get in touch with them before the end of the day, they'll schedule the free home estimate and you'll have access to this deal. Call them, 866-90-NATION, or head to windownation.com. Mention my name. They'll take good care of you. So Adam Peters, you know, in his Monday presser, I think it was on Monday, maybe it was Tuesday. I mean, he didn't say a lot in that format, but we played something that he said to J.P. Finley earlier in the week after that press conference. And then he had a one-on-one with Peter Schrager from the NFL Network. I think that's where Peter Schrager is. Is it Fox? NFL Network? I'm not sure. I get all these guys confused. But he said something. He was asked about a year ago, the Washington Commanders brass meeting Jaden Daniels for the first time. Here's what he said. Do we have that, Chris?
So many questions about the Commanders. Jaden Daniels didn't perform. He didn't throw. He didn't do it. And yet you guys met with him here. Do you remember that interaction? Was there a feeling of this might be the guy?
Yeah, I remember it vividly. And we, at that time, you know, we were pretty locked in on him. And cool story about him is we interviewed him really early in the morning. And it was like 8 or something. And so that's like 5 o'clock West Coast time. So, you know, Jaden, he's chill. He's kind of, you know, relaxed and California cool and all that. But as soon as we turned on the tape, he sat up, perked up, and you could just see his eyes light up. And I mean, you could just see how much he loved football just by that little interaction.
I mean, they loved him before sitting down with him, but still, these sit-down meetings are really the most important part of the Indy Combine. These shuttle runs and these 40-yard times, and I mean, some of that moves the needle. Obviously, they want to see what these guys look like in person. Remember, on one of the pro days, or the pro day that Jaden had, there were real critiques about what it looked like. And, you know, oh, look, he's not throwing over the middle in the way that, you know, all the analytics said that he can't throw over the middle or he doesn't throw over the middle. They knew before meeting him for the first time, and it was just confirmed. They found out that they were also dealing with a good kid. But they had done a ton of due diligence, but you want to see how that kid reacts in that environment. Remember, there was some discussion about, you know, his meeting with the Giants, you know, and how he was regurgitating plays, etc. Washington finally got one right, man. They got one right. I love that they were on it from the beginning, which they were, but him telling that story early in the morning, perking up, was, you know, more sort of emphasis on the kind of guy they were getting. And here we are a year later after one of the great rookie seasons of all time. Lance Newmark, part of Washington's front office, obviously a guy that they could have potentially lost in the offseason, but they didn't. The assistant general manager for this organization. He was interviewed by J.P. Finley the other day. It may have been yesterday, and was asked about the offseason. Here's what he said.
How nice is it to not deal with the quarterback circus?
Well, that's great. You know, I feel, really excited about our future. Sure. You know, and I talked about last year when we drafted him and felt really excited about where we were going with him, that it would allow us so much more flexibility in terms of building the roster for the future. And we're starting to get into that now where, all right, you know, I feel really good about that particular situation, which is really, really important. So it allows us to really address the entire roster and have a little more freedom without that uncertainty there.
Yeah, I mean, when you get the quarterback right and you're in a good spot from, you know, a salary cap standpoint, from a draft choice standpoint, the flexibility that it allows you, you know, the lack of having to spend so much of your offseason focused on who's going to play quarterback for us this year and beyond this year, it's exhausting, and not to have to go through that and to be able to focus on the rest of the roster when you do have a lot of areas of need. They do. You know, in the conversation with Ben, Ben's not wrong. This roster is not anywhere near Philadelphia's level. It's not really anywhere near Detroit's level of roster. There are others in the NFC fully healthy that it's really less than. They've got that opportunity now. And that's why I said when the season ended, the pressure is on Adam Peters and Lance Newmark now. It's good pressure because they got the big part right. They got the quarterback right. But now you are in that window of, we've got a star quarterback on a rookie deal. We have to take advantage of this. And there is some pressure for them to deliver another really strong offseason and a better supporting cast in 2025 so that they can stand up to these teams over 17 games and then in the postseason. They did a hell of a job standing up to these teams this year without the roster, but ultimately they didn't achieve the goal, which now they can legitimately have. You know, not every team has the legitimate win the Super Bowl as their number one goal. Washington can legitimately have that as a goal, and it puts some, you know, pressure back on Peters and Newmark. But right now, they have earned the trust of, I would think, most fans that they can deliver. We'll see. I mean, these players have to be available. They've got to want to come to you. They've got to fit your culture. You can't compromise culture for any of this. You can't. You're not at that position yet, I don't think, where you can take on a player that may not fit your culture, but he's just so good that it doesn't matter because the culture itself will be able to deal with that player. I don't know if you're there yet, but will be interesting. They've got 44 players to add to their roster, and if you take away the draft choices, more like 37, something like that. All right, big college basketball weekend coming up. A lot of the bracketologists have weighed in post the midweek games. Did Maryland move back after their loss to Michigan State? And an incredible ending and another buzzer beater last night in the Big Ten. That's next. Night after a three-quarter court shot in College Park in the Big Ten, Trey Holloman's, dagger to beat the Terps. Last night, staying in the Big Ten, Michigan hosted Rutgers. They were down by 12, and they came back, and they won on a Namari Burnett, long 30-foot three-pointer at the horn to beat Rutgers 84-82. College basketball, man, this time of year it gets really good. And I was, you know, thinking about something. There's so much focus from casual fans, and I think almost all college basketball fans are now almost casual. I mean, the sport has truly become kind of a one-month sport for 90% of the people out there. I mean, unless you have, you know, there are hardcore college basketball fans, don't get me wrong. For me, it's much more about just having a team that I follow. I don't follow the sport that closely during football season. But, you know, once you get into the month of February, you really almost have to appreciate the journey. Like these games on home, you know, in home court environments that are just incredible, and the passion of the moment of, you know, mid to late February heading into the tournament. Once you get to the tournament, it's a different feel. I mean, it's great. It's one and done, the pressure, but they are neutral court environments. And that's it if you lose. You know, there's no coming back from that. The race this year in the Big Ten's been really compelling. Part of that is because my team's good, and they were in it, although they're not in it anymore in terms of winning it. But Michigan State and Michigan and Wisconsin, these games have been incredible games, and it seems like on any given night anybody can win. The Terps have Penn State on the road tomorrow in Happy Valley. That's always been one of those, you know, tough spots for Maryland for some reason, even when they've had better teams. But Penn State, not as good as Maryland, not anywhere near as talented, even though they've been playing much better basketball. They've won two of their last three, and they nearly knocked off. They had a nice-sized lead late in the game at Indiana the other night. But everybody sort of positioning themselves for the tournament. The latest Lunardi bracketology kept Maryland as a 5 seed. I didn't think they would drop after that game the other night. Have them in a 5 seed with a first-round game against McNeese State in Indianapolis and a second-round matchup with Arizona in Indianapolis to try to get to a Sweet 16 game against a 1 seed Alabama. And Alabama would be the 4th of the 1 seeds. All right. Good job by Chris today. Thanks to Ben for joining us on the show today. Back on Monday.